This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Amen. Okay, turning me to Romans chapter 3. Today is Good Friday. Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And another 40 days or so, it'll be a Pentecost, you know, these are three vital events in Christendom. So I thought that I want to take today just to get away from Life of David. Not that the Life of David are not important, but it's so important for us to understand the significance of these three events, especially right now we have so many young people, youth, children, and also in our house of prayer. We primarily focus on the second coming of Jesus. We talk a lot about, not that we don't talk about the cross, no, I think we should never get over the cross. No, or rather I say we can never get over the cross. We should never lose sight of the cross, and we need to understand the significance of the cross, not just in our mind, but in our heart, that we must be able to see. You know, in fact, I give I encourage every one of, you know, we don't have special events for Good Friday, you know, that's the unique thing about us, House of Prayer. We all have prayer, you know, prayer session and so on. But make this Good Friday really meaningful, you know, not just Good Friday. Friday, tomorrow, Sunday, where Jesus resurrect. Yes, I know Sunday is April Fool's Day, but it's not a joke that man has risen. So it's not a joke. There's a man 2,000 years ago has reason, you know. And we need to grasp the significance of these three events, because it's like the foundation of our faith, you know. Without these three events, we'll be stillborn or whatever you call it, you know. Whether it's the crucifixions, and then Good Friday, where Jesus went to the cross, Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus was resurrected. Huge significance. If Jesus did not come alive 2 days from now, which is 2,000 years ago, the church will have collapsed. You know? But more than that, the Pentecost, which is so vital, you know, we can never get over. You know, I want to encourage you that these few days, make it significant. You know? No, I'm not saying you cannot go for holiday. I know what the favorite pastime of Singaporeans is, that especially there's a long stretch of holiday, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go over, you know, plus budget airline and so on. Very soon, there's this bullet train that go to KL. No, I think we'll all go for cheap food and so on. Well, I'm not saying that we cannot watch TV, we cannot go for holiday, but make this to be a very meaningful and significant weekend. Pray that God will open the eyes of our heart to see and to encounter. No, I'm for emotion. I'm not for emotion. I'm not for emotion for emotion's sake. Emotion has to be the result of I encounter the very heart of God. So pray, you know, that this will be a very meaningful Good Friday. I know next year will be another one and so on. But so what? Next year there's another one. Every year we need to encounter the very heart of God so that we will praise Him. Because without Good Friday, Jesus on the cross said it is finished. I know, I always think about it. What if there's no Good Friday? What if Jesus didn't go to the cross? He went to the cross. John 19, on the cross, he declared it is finished. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, or there is no Good Friday, we are finished. We are done. No, but we have no understanding a lot of time, because our understanding of that sinfulness of our heart and that depravity of our soul, we are condemned, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we often our understanding is very superficial. We need to be able to see with the depth of our heart so that it will give rise to gratitude and praise and worship. This is not just an act. This is not just a history. And primarily, it's not so that we know a very familiar story. You know, every year we recite, you know, we put out an act and so on. We have to encounter the reality so that we are thankful. Like what Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said that Jesus Christ came to die for all sinners, and among all, I'm the chief, I'm the worst. No, he's not just using some nice language, Paul understood. That's why the book of Romans is so important. You know, there are a few chapters that, if you can, you know, last night we tried to do it. You know, in our youth sessions, we read through a couple of vital chapter. Primarily, is we want to declare what Jesus did. So, if you can, this next few days, read through. It's not a lot. Just no more than 20 chapters. You know, well, Jesus pray at Garden Gethsemane, tarry for us until his sweat become blood. We can read the 10 chapter or 20 chapter, no? Just think about what Jesus did for us. Okay. The issue is that I want you to encounter that reality so that you understand. So that your heart is gripped and you feel with that thankfulness of what the Lord did for us on the cross. But more than just on the cross. Thank God it's not just on the cross. I think the cross is very important. We should never get over the cross. But the cross is very important. But at the end of the day, on Sunday, there is resurrection. There's the power that's within us. And we pray about God empower us with resurrection power. Later, I'll talk a little bit about it. Paul didn't ask us to pray for God to empower us. Paul prayed that we know that there is this power that is in us. It's already in us. That's what Paul said in Romans 6. You were baptized with him unto his death. And because of that, we are dead unto sin. So right now, we are free from the penalty of sin. But Paul didn't stop there. Paul said, you are also resurrected. Or you are also raised. That's why baptism is a very powerful significance. We are baptized with him unto his death. But we are raised unto his resurrection. So now we can walk in the newness of life. There is the power within us right now. The issue is we learn to walk. Romans 1:17 says that we will be transformed from faith to faith. When we are in the power of the gospel, we should get better and better and better and better. That's the good news. I know that is a bad news, though. It's kind of like, you know, Americans say it sucks, you know. I'm just trying to cope until Jesus comes back. That's not what it's supposed to be. Because of Resurrection Sunday, we have the resurrected power that is at work within us right now. The key is to walk it out. But that's not the end. That's the Pentecost. We are going to pray for the youth on April. I realize May 20th is the Pentecost. Wow, you know, well, I'm not saying I'm changing my mind, you know, just, well, okay. So I'm going to talk about these three vital events. It's very important. Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and Pentecost. You know, we can never get over because these are the three, I don't even know when they say, no, probably it's, I shouldn't say it's the three major pillars in our faith, but I would say that foundational. The significance of Good Fridays, the importance of Resurrection Sunday, and the promise of the Holy Spirit that will come during Pentecost. You know, we must never lose sight of these 3 days, 3 events. Not just knowing the event, knowing the story becomes familiar unto us, that the truth, the power, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he was resurrected, and because of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This is so important because that is the core of our faith. The work of crucifixion and the work of resurrection. And with that, more than just that we are free from the penalty of sin, we are free from the power of sin, and we can be more than conqueror, we can be victorious. And we should be victorious, and I will even say we shall be victorious because there is that greatness of the power that's at work within us. If we have the power that's within us, we shouldn't be weak. I mean, yeah, we all start out weak. We will get stronger and stronger and stronger because of that resurrection power that's at work within us. That's why Sunday is crucial. No, today is crucial. Sunday is crucial. Pentecost is crucial too because Jesus is gone. You know, you must imagine the mindset of the disciple. He is gone. He walked with God in man. Or rather, I won't say that's not theologically correct. He walked with God-man for 3.5 years. And suddenly he said, I'm leaving now. I can imagine everybody must be distressed, panic or stressed. Wow, no, we have good time 3.5 years. Where are you going? You are going? Oh, man. we are in trouble. But Jesus said this, John 16. He said that it's better for me to go. It's to your advantage. I can imagine they are all kind of like scratching their head. How you mean that's better? You are going away. He said, it's better for me. I mean, if you apply in our context, that means we should be better than the 12 disciples because we too have the Holy Spirit. We should be better than the 12 disciples. I know I gave a very interesting illustration yesterday. I'll say later. So we need to understand the work of crucifixion, the work of resurrection is done for us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the issue right now is for us to know that we have and to learn to walk. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2:12, I think it's 2:12, no. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your salvation, because it's by grace, through faith. No one can boast. We are all but filthy rags, but it's by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. We can never work for our salvation. But Paul exhorts us constantly in his epistle to work out. That means we have to walk because the power is within us. Grace is imputed to us. We have grace, but as we keep walking, grace will keep overflowing. Power will keep coming out. We will be better and better and better and better. It's supposed to be. That's why it's called the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16 say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God." The gospel is supposed to have power. Not just, unfortunately, primarily, I'm more of the culprit too. In Western Christianity, gospel is primarily to preach, to talk. Mere words. I think we need to preach, but it's not just by mere words or preaching. But there should be power to transform. And we should be better and better and better. You know, there's a two, I don't know whether it's two famous saying. I can't even figure out which one is mine. So I just read it. Okay. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus will come again. Wow, huge. That is the core of our faith. He died. He died. And because of that, we are redeemed from our sin. But that, if it stopped there, then there's not the fullness of the gospel. He had risen. He has risen. And then there's not the end too. Because the end is he's going to come back again. Going to establish his kingdom here on earth, happily ever after. No, that's fairy tale. That's not supposed to be, you know. So Good Friday, I can't remember who said that, which is very good. Good Friday raised the question. Resurrected Sunday raised the man. The raised man is the answer to all the raised questions. Wow. Let me say it one time. I thought it was good. Cannot be me. Okay. Good Friday raised the questions. Resurrection Sunday raised the man. The raised man is the answer to all the raised questions. Wow. No, this is not, now more and more, I'm a bit careful because nowadays we are in this era, in this social media thing. Everybody wants to give bombastic statement. I'm not interested in giving bombastic statement. I want to encounter, experience, and walk out the most bombastic statement in this entire 66 books of the Bible. I want to walk out the reality because Christ in me, the hope of glory. That means every glory and power that Jesus walked out here on earth is right now in me. I should be more than conqueror. I should be victorious. I give you a prayer. The Lord really stir my heart to pray a prayer. Okay. So I'm going to start with talking about Good Friday. Turn me to Romans 1. Romans 1, because Good Friday is significant, it's huge. We need to keep praying that we will always see, we shall never lose sight. I'm so thankful because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Notice I say for me, we have to personalize it. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm spared more than just the punishment of sin, going to hell, from the very wrath of God. I'm forever spared. And more than that, now, from being the enemy of God Most High, now I'm part of His family. Wow, unbelievable. unbelievable. So on Good Friday, he went to the cross. You know, he who has no sin became sin for us. He became the Passover lamb. There's no other option. Take me to Romans 3, verse 23. We need to know that. That's why it's so vital. Oh, I haven't given you what's supposed to read. Okay, now I remember. Go and read Matthew 26, 27, 28. It's all the final days of Jesus, plus the crucifixion, plus the resurrection, plus the ascension, and he gave the final commission, which is all very important. And not just read it. As you read, pray for encounters. When I say pray for encounters, I'm not necessarily talking about angels show up or whatever. You show up, then that's cool. That's great. Please tell me. Okay. But your heart is being stirred. Your heart is being touched. You see what the Lord did for you and me. We see the depravity of our sin. And that will give rise to gratitude and praise and worship. That's what we want. Not just stir up some emotion. Okay, so read Matthew 26, 27, 28. Mark, let me try to figure out. Okay, Mark 14, 15, 16. Luke 22, 23, 24. Luke is 20. No, not this one. Okay. Yeah, then John. We have a Luke in our midst. Okay, John 18, 19, 20. And then last one, read Romans chapter 1 to 6. You've got to read Romans chapter 1 to 6. Because Romans chapter 1 to 6, Paul lay out the clearest presentation. You know, those who are high C, this book is for you. Because it's the most systematic book. Okay, so whoever is a lawyer, this is a cool book for you because it's very systematic, you know. Primarily, Paul lay out a case. Everyone is condemned. If you read Romans 1, later you're going to run through. Romans 1, 2, 3, stop at verse 20. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be hopeless. You'll walk away, you know, okay, that's it, condemned, that's it. Because basically Paul laid out the case where whether you're pagan, whether you're Gentile, whether you're Jew, got law, no law, walk out the whatever, everybody's condemned. No one has hope. No one is good enough. Everybody deserves only going to hell. That's it, full stop. That's Romans 3, verse 20. Thank God, Paul didn't stop there. Or rather, Jesus became the Passover lamb for us. The whole course of history changed. Because on this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross. The whole course of human destiny changed. Because if not, we are finished. Not it is finished. And we have to understand that. No, not just in our mind, okay? We are not talking about having a cognitive knowledge. We need to know in our heart. You see, no, if you understand that you are but condemned, I am but condemned, we will never take advantage of grace and mercy. The problem is because we don't fully understand. There's more and more, you know, I always say if I have time, I'm going to write about the presentation of the gospel. I strongly believe that the primary verse that we should lead people to salvation is not John 3:16. Because the issue of salvation is not love. The issue of salvation is justice. Whether you are a sinner, whether you are holy, God loves you. But it's the issue of justice. We'll talk about it. It's the issue of justice. Yeah. Because men sin, God is righteous. Sin has to be punished. No one is good enough. So it has to be punished. It's an issue of justice. Unless someone paid the price. Jesus Christ. In fact, no one is worthy even to pay the price. Kind of like hopeless, isn't it? The more I talk about it, kind of hopeless, you know. Worse than eating worms. But there's one Passover lamb who came and paid the price for us. Unless we see that depravity, we will never be thankful of the grace and mercy. Because now, more and more, the way we preach gospel is like, the way we present this, yeah, God loves you. You're not that bad. You're quite nice, you know. Just that you miss a little bit, but you're so worthy of Jesus' love. Just say yes, like, do a favor for the Lord. So that you have more family, more children in the kingdom of God. No, that's not what it's supposed to be. So once in a while, I will pull out Jonathan Edwards' the most famous sermon. You know, it's worth reading. You know, of course, now don't take it out and read. It's kind of boring. You know, people will fall asleep. Yeah, the tears will come up because it's so boring, you know. What's the sermon? Sinner in the hand of an angry God. You see, more and more, we are shifted away from preaching about hell. Once in a while, we need to talk about hell because it's a reality. It's not just politically incorrect. No, it's totally politically correct because every one of us, without the cross, we will go to hell. That's called justice. Justice means we deserve what we get. Or rather, we get what we deserve. That is justice. Justice is we get what we deserve. What Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago is the most injustice thing that happened ever in human history. The innocent one became the guilty one so that the guilty ones can become innocent. We can quote, but it has to be something that is in our heart. If not, our salvation will always be crippled because we never have that powerful encounter so that we become thankful to God. That is the key thing. That's why we need to go through this, not just for the sake of going through this. We want encounters. We want to see the cross so that we will say, thank you for the cross. More and more, we do carry the cross, the gold one. Some words, the cross, that cross pen. You know, we don't really carry the cross now because we don't fully understand the cross. We're diluted the message of the cross. Turn me to Romans 3. Romans 3. I'm going to run through Romans 1, 18. Okay, it's very important. Romans 3. The reason why Jesus went to the cross is because no one was good enough. Or rather, I was to say, no one is good enough, even now. Romans 3, verse 23 said this, for all have sinned. All. No one is better. All have sinned. And fallen short of the glory of God. There is that righteous requirement of God before the presence of the Holy God so that you can enter into eternity. Everyone falls short. No one can make it. We need to have that reality. The issue of salvation is not the issue of love because God loves sinners. God so loved the world. He loved Saddam Hussein. He loved Osama bin Laden. He loved Joshua, he loved 12, he loved Kay Chong, he loved everyone. But he cannot allow you to go to eternity because sin has to be paid. It's called justice. It's called justice. Let's turn to Romans 1. Romans, just write it down, no time to read through it because I'll talk about resurrection too. I'll talk about Pentecost, you know, so there's a lot. But primarily, I'm starting us that journey because we may not constantly talk about the cross or the resurrection or the Pentecost, but that is, this is have to be beyond just theology or doctrine. This has to be a reality, a revelation in our heart. That's the key thing. You know, we may not constantly talk about, but that we need to keep going back, revisit, re-encounter so that the truth, the revelation, go deeper and deeper and deeper that we have that gratitude. You know, people say, you know, is Jesus worthy for me to give my all? Oh, you don't know you don't really understand. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. The problem is we have low revelation of the worthiness of Jesus. Revelation 5 verse 12 says what? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Who was being slain for? For you. For me. If not, you and I will be the one at the pit of hell. Yeah, there's no one good enough. That's what Paul is saying. That's why in eternity we will never get over the song. It's kind of like we look forward, heaven, eternity, worship the land. We look to the right. I mean, I don't really know how it works. Okay, we look to the right, man, you know, lake of fire, hell, and so on. Thank God, worthy is the Lamb who has been slain for me. He's worthy to receive every glory, blessings, power, dominion, praise. He is worthy. We can't really say that because we don't realize that great contrast. Our depravity and his worthiness and what he did for us. It's more than just a connective. I know my words is not sufficient, but I pray the Holy Spirit will bring convictions. It's my duty to say the word. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts our heart. May the Holy Spirit convict our heart so that will give rise to worship. Okay. Romans 1, just write it down. I have no time. Okay. Romans 1, verse 18 to 3, verse 20. We must see this clearly, this passage, Romans 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Because if we will never truly appreciate the cross unless we see this very clearly. Because this passage of scripture makes it very clear. No one is good enough. No one. Pagan, Gentiles, Jew, have law, no law, choose to abide the law, choose not to abide the law. Everyone is not good enough. That's why Paul ends with this. You know, let's read Romans 3, verse 10. Or rather, I read from verse 9. Basically, Paul's conclusion is no one measure up to the righteous requirement of God. No one. No one. Everyone is deficient. Everyone is depraved. Everyone is condemned. That's it. You know, imagine now, if we preach a sermon like that, you know, half the church will leave. Good Friday. You know, yeah. Joel said, tomorrow we are going for, you know, Sunday, right? We are going, right? So last year we went to a church. No, not last year. Yeah. So tomorrow we're going again. Okay, imagine. Everyone is condemned. Everyone is condemned. Everyone. Wow. Half left. But that's the truth. Unless we see the truth, we'll never be appreciative of what Jesus did for us on the cross. No, this is not about being condemned. This is about, it is the truth. It is the truth. You know, more and more we skip away because we're trying to be politically correct or nice message. It's not about being nice. I think it's more kind for someone to tell the truth. That we have the realization so that there is that awakening, there is that birthing of appreciation until we encounter the reality of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay, Romans 3, verse 9. That's what Paul is saying. Everyone is condemned. I mean, I remember the first time when I read and God really opened my eyes. I kind of closed at 3:20. So, man, I'm doomed. I'm finished. And I realized, hey, it's verse 21. And I carry on. You know, Paul said this, chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? It's because comparing Jews and Greek, because Jews have the law. So Jews always think by the law, by observing the law, by obeying the law, I can make it. And Paul is basically saying, you are deceived. You don't realize what I'm talking about. No one is good. That's where he went into, I mean, kind of like ballistic, man. He just go, keep going. It's like, kind of like, whoosh. Okay. Verse 10. And it is written, there's no one righteous. No, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throats is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Listen to this one, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Basically, Paul say, no one. No one. No one is good enough. And I come back again, okay, because I go to go further because it's so important. This is so important because the issue of salvation is not just, it's not love. The issue of salvation is justice. God is righteous. If he is righteous, he has to punish sin. If he does not punish sin, he's not righteous. He's not righteous. But thank God, more than justice, our God is merciful and he is gracious. He has provided a Passover lamb so that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved. John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, you know, with his disciples, said, who is this man? Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sin of the world. That is the key thing. This is so, so vital. Salvation is an issue of justice, not love. Because without this justice being fulfilled, we cannot even receive the love of God. But thank God there's mercy, there's grace. Because of mercy and grace. That's why the most emphasized attribute of God in the Bible is not love. Even though love is very important. The most emphasized attribute of God in the entire Bible is the word mercy. Mercy. Because of mercy that we are spared. Because of mercy, the Passover lamb came. Turn me to Romans 1. Romans 1. Verse 16 and 17, which is the primary message about salvation. Not John 3:16. You know, that's how I always say, if I have time, you know, I'm going to rewrite the presentation of the gospel. No, I'm not against, you know, I grew up doing this four spiritual law. You know, I'm not against four spiritual law. But four spiritual law have some shortcoming in the sense, because we don't talk about that sinfulness. You know, God loves you and so on, you know, we shortcut the entire thing. We have to get back to Romans 1 verse 16 to 17. We cannot shortcut the whole process. That's like butterfly that is coming out of this thing called what? Cocoon, is it? Cocoon, okay. You know, the butterfly has to struggle out. Always have to struggle out, okay. If someone trying to be too helpful, cut open the cocoon and the butterfly come out easy, the butterfly will forever unable to fly. Because through the struggling, you know, I don't know, that I know it's not blood, you know, some sort of liquid. La. Through the struggling and the adrenaline, it pumps that whatever, is it called liquid? No, Annabelle would know, whatever, you know, something, will flow into that wing, and the wing will be strengthened and stretched out, able to fly. It's vital for us to understand so that we don't short circuit, you know. No, we are not there to condemn. I mean, we are condemned enough in this world. There's no need to help, you know. But it's that correct biblical presentation of what the gospel is all about. The gospel is Romans 1, verse 16 to 17. That is what the gospel is all about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone. First for the Jew, then for the Greek. And in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. That is the clearest presentation of what the gospel is all about and why Jesus went to the cross. We got to get it right. These two verses is like the summary of the entire book of Romans. Or at least Romans 1 all the way to Romans 8. It's a summary and explain the reason why Jesus went to the cross. It's so important. There are seven truths in it. So powerful. I'm going to read through one more time. And I'm going to break it down quickly, because we have to know this verse. No, not in our cognitive mind. We have to encounter every of the truth. Every of the truth. Paul said this, I'm not ashamed. You need to understand, it's huge. Now it's easy for us to say, I'm not ashamed to come to this church. I'm not ashamed to come to this house of prayer. No, because it's easy. We don't pay a price. Yeah. Paul, the fact that he say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you must understand the opposition that he faced. He faced at least three great opposition to be able to stand up and declare that, no, it's like you're a fool, no. Yeah. Because they faced the Romans' might. Romans was the strongest empire during Paul's time. It's like USA and modern day USA and China put together. It's still a superpower right now. That's Romans' empire. Second, they faced the Jews. The Jews persecuting. Who is this Jesus? Why is this way? Why are you preaching the cross? The cross is foolishness. And now, of course, the third one is Greek philosophy. During those times, the Greek philosophy is the highest. It's like, I PSLE, Joshua graduated from Harvard. I'm kind of telling Joshua, no, I'm smarter than you. kind of silly, right? You know, like Joel, you know, Joel Koh, not Yap lah. He said all of us are from Ivy League, yeah, which is in a way true lah. We all have Cambridge A level, O level. Yeah, so no. Okay, don't get a joke, it's fine. Okay, I'll be encouraged. We are all from Ivy League. Okay, that's not the point. The point is not easy for Paul to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because he understood about the power of the gospel. The first one, Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what's gospel? Good news. Good news. Good news in the light of what Paul is about to say from Romans 1 verse 18 to chapter 3 verse 20. Everyone is condemned. Everyone is condemned. But I have a good news for you. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, more than just a good news. Good news is no power, it's not much of a news. Just like I can give you a credit card. Actually cannot work on. There's not much of a good news. You can carry an Amex, whatever Max, and nothing works. The second truth is more than just a good news, which is very important. It's the power of God. The gospel has power. Transforming power. Because the gospel is more than just Jesus went to the cross. He was resurrected, and because of that, we are given the resurrected power that's at work within us. Later, I'll go to Ephesians 1. Paul didn't ask us to ask for resurrection power. Paul prayed that we will see that we have that power so that we learn to walk it out. That is the reality. We have the power within us. Colossians 1 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We already have the power. That is the key thing. Okay. The third one, salvation. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Salvation basically is the word deliverance. It means we are free from the penalty of sin. And we are free from the power of sin. No, it's not the fullness of the gospel when we only emphasize the freedom from the penalty of sin. The full picture of the gospel is also we are free from the power of sin. We can overcome sin. We're going to talk about grace, you know, the next series after the life of David, where Paul says in Romans 5, because of grace, we can reign in this life. It's called reigning grace. Reigning grace. And the fourth one, salvation for everyone is available to everyone. Jews or Gentiles. Of course, the gospel went to the Jews first and then went to the Gentiles. It's always part of God's plan. Next one. This is very powerful. Verse 17. The first time Martin Luther read this verse, he got depressed because he thought that the verse means this is the required righteousness that God demands from you and me. He got depressed and said, no way I'm going to make it. So he got depressed. Church history recorded, I think you're depressed for at least, I can't remember exactly, about 4 to 6 months. I cannot imagine. Yeah, it's kind of like he read, man, this verse said, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. You know what this verse means? In it, God offer his righteousness to us through Christ Jesus, if we believe in him. Because our righteousness, our attained righteousness will never be good enough. And God said, I'm offering to you righteousness through my son. Through my son. Wow. And then there's a sixth one, from faith to faith. Basically talks about that transforming grace. We will get better and better and better and better. That's supposed to be Christianity, our faith. We're supposed to get better, not trying to cope, or we get worse and worse. Because of the power of the gospel that is at work within us, we should get better and better and better and better. Next year should be better than this year. The year after next year should be better than next year, so on and so on. It's irregardless of circumstances. But it hinges on because of the power that is at work within us, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And the last one, the just shall live by faith. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. That is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Why Jesus went to the cross to give us these seven realities. We are free from the penalty of sin. And we are free from the very power of sin. I'm going to read one couple of verses. Then I'm going to talk about the resurrection power. Okay. I'm going to talk about the Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Good, I have time. So I can talk about the resurrection power. I mean, everything I'm going to share with you tonight is only a snapshot. I pray that the Holy Spirit will stir our heart. That we will read, not just next few days. Read and ask the Lord to have that revelation. To me, I told the Lord, the greatest gift that you can give me over this weekend is that as I read through, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Romans 1 to 6, I have that encounter. Awaken my heart again to that gratitude. That revelation and the realization, the rugged cross. You know, we used to sing on the rugged cross, on the rugged. We hardly sing some of these hymns. You know? Even the song, Amazing Grace. I mean, it's a powerful song. You know, some of this song is so rich, or rather I should call it him, okay? Not her, okay? Yeah. It's so powerful because it's so rich with truth. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How many of us actually think that we are a wretch? Actually, in this modern era, very few. We lack the revelations. We all think we are kind of like a little bit good, you know, a bit good looking, and I'm smart, you know. I mean, these are all not bad in itself, but you got to see in the light of a holy God. Amazing grace. That's why it was the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in the Spirit. More and more, we lack the poverty in the Spirit, whether it's believer or non-believer. Because if truly we have the poverty in the Spirit, what's the next one? You will moan. Okay, not necessarily just, you know, cry, whatever, you know. The Bible talks about godly sorrow. Basically, it means you will pray. Because you know that without God, you are nothing. What's the third one? You know why you'll be meek? You realize that actually nothing is from me. I'm useless. Everything is grace. Then there's nothing to be proud of. We can be full of pride is because we think that we are good. You know, we always say that, it's not me, it's God. It's not me, it's God. So a lot of times, it's not true one. If you're all honest, I just tell you I'm honest. You say, yeah. A lot of time, I kind of trying to trick some, not trick. I always ask the question, wow, that's a good worship. Then the person would say, well, it's all God. It's all God. Then I will always shoot back the question. I thought I saw you. Oh, no. Never mind. I got a joke. Yeah. But no, it would lead you to meekness. You know, and then what's after meekness? You hunger. You know that there's so much more of God. A lot of time we don't because we don't have that revelation. Yeah, no. Of course, don't. I'm not asking you to stuck this. Oh, I'm bad. I'm wretched. I'm whatever. Okay. Why am I in that? Okay. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Wow. Wow. Kind of like what? Counterintuitive. Blind, but now I see. Once was lost. Now, he's talking about a man really lost his sight. Was a very proud man, rich man. He lost everything, lost his sight, and he wrote this hymn. We need to have a realization. Turn me to Romans 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21 to 26. I'll talk about the significance of what Jesus did for us on the cross and the result of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay, Romans 3, verse 21. Remember, Paul was talking about everyone is condemned. No one has hope. That's it. But I said, there's a good news. That's where the turn of the entire book of Romans, which is Romans chapter 3, verse 21, Paul said this. But now, basically in verse 21, he said there's only two ways of attaining the required righteousness of God. One is by the law. But of course, no one can make it. Another one is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's always part of God's eternal plan, even in Old Testament. It's kind of like, you know, people talk about Old Testament is a covenant of law. New Testament is a covenant of grace. It's like, kind of like God try out. If it doesn't work, okay, plan B. It's always part of God's plan that he's going to send the Passover lamb. Every Old Testament story basically is giving a powerful foreshadow of the lamb that is to come. That is the key thing. That is why we use the word Passover lamb, because it points back to the book of Exodus. God wants to deliver his people from the bondages of Egypt. He sent 10 plagues. The final one is he sent the angel of death. And God gave the Jewish people or his people one key. You got to slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the the doorpost on top and the side and below. And tonight, everybody is going to go to the house because the angel of death is going to come. When the angel of death comes, and he's going to kill the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn. He's a Passover lamb. So when the angel of death comes, he will come to every house. I don't know how it works. You know, you should go and watch. I thought Steven Spielberg did such a great favor. You know, he did the show Prince of Egypt. So powerful. You know, first time I watched on the bus. At that bus have all this panel. And then God spoke through burning bush. You know, Moses, I am God. Oh, I literally fell off the chair. You know, it's so powerful. So every time I keep watching. It's so. But that was like, man. No. Why am I talking about that? Okay. So when the angel of death come, and saw the blood of the lamb, he will go over. That's why it's called Passover. We are celebrating Passover. Or the Jewish people are celebrating Passover now. And their Passover is 10 days. You know, amazing. 10 days, you know. Passover. That's the key thing. Romans 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Basically, Paul is implying there's only two ways. Either you live out the law, which no one can. But now, the Lord knows no one could. He provides an alternative through Christ. You see, but now righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. It's always God's plan. The law and the prophet is talking about Old Testament, the Torah and the major prophet, minor prophet. It's always God's plan. It's not kind of like he realized, man, the plan was bad. Plan B. So Jesus had to go. It's always part of the plan. It's always, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith. Now, this is the righteousness that is being offered. Righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no different Jews, Gentiles, pagan, anyone. Why? Verse 23 says clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone falls short of the required righteousness. No one can. And God, in his mercy and in his grace, offer righteousness through Jesus Christ. Because of the cross. Because of the cross. He who has no sin became sin for us. Let's go further. 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's where we have the term. Justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. Let's go to verse 25. Verse 25 is very powerful. In fact, the whole passage is powerful. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. I'm going to read through the whole verse and explain what this is about. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sin that were previously committed. You know what this verse means? Propitiation basically means atonement, sacrifice. Because God is, inverted comma, angry. Because the right word is actually appeasement. Because it's from a Greek word where that someone is angry because of a debt. He wants to take back the debt. But someone has to pay something to appease the anger. The propitiation, Jesus as a sacrificial lamb. Why the verse say that to demonstrate his righteousness? You know why to demonstrate his righteousness? Jesus has to die. Justice means sin has to be punished. Sin has to be paid. If not, there will be no salvation. And Jesus came as the propitiation. And because in his forbearance, listen to this, powerful. Remember I talked about Exodus. God had passed over the sin. Is pointing all the way back to Exodus, the Passover lamb, because of the blood of Jesus. Verse 26, this is another powerful thing, because you know why? Remember I say God is righteous. Because he's righteous, he has to punish sin. That's called justice. In this one verse, talk about both. He is just and he provides justice. He's both just and he justified us because Jesus died for us. He's just is because he had to punish sin. There's no other way. Jesus has to die. There's no other way. Wow. Wow. Even if Joshua wants to go, it's not good enough. I go with him. Maybe I make it worse. There's only one way. Jesus. No other way. Wow. You want to go, also cannot. Have you thought about that? I want to go, also cannot. Only Jesus. The cross. That's why the cross is a major foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, of Christians. We have to see.